Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to HBCU Voice. I'm your host, Jonathan Alexander, staff writer for the News and Observer, here with a co-host, Trent Little, who's enjoying the married life. How's it going, Trent?
What's up? What's up, man? What's up?
Nothing much. Nothing much. Thanks for joining me. We usually have two more co-hosts on the show, Jerome Brown Jr., a.k.a. Ron Brown and Aaron. We call him Charlamagne Sanders because people love to challenge him, but they cannot make it on the show today. Today is a special show because we'll be joined by North Carolina Central football coach Jerry Mack in a few minutes, and we'll be able to talk with him about the season and winning the MEAC title for the second year in a row. North Carolina Central football has had a very successful season for the second year straight under the tutelage of Mack, and we can't wait to hear what he has to say. So, Trent, did you happen to check out some of the football games over the weekend?
Yes, of course. I caught that game that you were at last night, actually. but I also paid attention to Grambling Alcorn State. We were talking about that last week, and my predictions were definitely off.
they were all that. I'm trying to tell you, Alcorn State, I was very surprised. I saw a little bit of the game, and I saw those running backs for Alcorn State and the quarterback, and they were just unstoppable. Norris Flipman, quarterback, had three touchdowns, threw for 202 yards. DeRyan Ragsdale had 15 carries for 188 yards, a touchdown. Marquise Wofford, 8 carries, 120 yards, a touchdown. Norris Flipman, the quarterback, had 19 carries for 101 yards, 611
total yards of offense. Like, goodness. But
exactly.
What were you saying?
I said, how can you stop that?
You can't. Not when you're turning the ball over. I remember last week I was talking about Grambling's quarterback. I felt like they had the best quarterback in the out of the two teams. And he was also – it was actually the SWAC Offensive Player of the Year. And he gave the he turned the ball over three times, throwing three interceptions. And so, I mean, when you're giving that type of offense, the ball, like many opportunities, then you have no choice but to – of course you're going to lose that game.
Give me 1 second. We are joined here by NC Central football coach Jerry Mack. Is that you, Coach Mack?
Yes, I'm here.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Appreciate
good,
you're
good.
On
you?
Here with HBCU Voice. And this is Jonathan Alexander. That is Trent Little, my co-host. We really appreciate you joining us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. This is you're our first guest. This is our third episode, and you're our first guest. So you're the special guy for us. So, first guy. We'll remember this day.
That's good. That's good. It's always good to be number one.
Oh, definitely.
Right. You're familiar with that, right?
yeah. You're definitely familiar with that. Congratulations on the second consecutive MEAC title.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. We talked earlier in the season, you know, about your success. But what is it like for you to have success this early in your coaching career at North Carolina Central?
Well, it's just kind of a dream come true. You know, one thing was I felt like I always done a good job of trying to prepare for this kind of situation. You know, so I kind of came in with a plan and a vision of what I thought the program could be. And so far the last, 2 years or so, we've been able to accomplish a lot of those goals that I set forward. So, you know, obviously anytime you have early success, you know, you just continue to raise the bar and the expectations become great. But that's the reason why we coach. You know, every year is a challenge. Every year is a different style of team or different team obstacles you have to overcome. And so far, so good. We just got to continue to try to build and grow to the level that I think that we're not quite there yet, but we are getting close each year.
Mm-hmm. I know I have to be. Yeah, you can go, Trent.
Okay, you were saying that you're not quite there yet. What do you feel it will take to get to those goals that you have placed on this team?
I think to put together another solid recruit class would really help. You know, I think last year we finished Boston Road number one recruit class in HBCU. We could put together another solid class. I think what you'll be dealing with now in year three is a group of guys that, you know, after 2 years, you know, guys we recruited our first year, you know, this year they moved to redshirt freshmen and sophomores, and now you're talking about year three being able to put together a solid class that can help us get over the hump. You know, we still got some goals we have to get, and that's obviously being the outright champs. And we came close the last 2 years. I think the first year, the game in Morgan State, and obviously this year was the game of Bethune-Cookman. So we're right there on the cusp to hope and get over the hump and trying to get a dynasty built. But it is going to take some recruiting. It's going to take to replace some key guys that we had this year and continue to, you know, influx the roster with quality guys that can be productive.
Yeah, speaking of that, Coach, you brought up the Bethune-Cookman loss. You're 2 points away from, you know, being the ones competing in that Celebration Bowl. What happened in that Bethune-Cookman game that allowed you all, that allowed Bethune-Cookman to kind of come back?
Well, you know, we were going into the game. We didn't have our two-star corners. That game, a lot of people don't know, Ryan Smith, our conference corner, he didn't play in that game. And then, obviously, Mike Jones, the All-American corner, He didn't play as well. So we were very young on the perimeter at that position. And, you know, when you're young like that, the guys that we had, they just didn't have a lot of experience and they missed a couple of calls and we had some busted coverages on the back end, just some miscommunication things that, you know, if we had played that game maybe 2 or 3 weeks down the road when those guys got a chance to get more acclimated, or maybe we just had Mike Jones or Ryan Smith, maybe the outcome could have been a little bit different. But, you know, we were still kind of feeling our way through our defensive secondary by that time. So it was just a miscommunication thing on the back end, and that's no excuse. But, you know, at the end of the day, those guys got to be ready, and as a coaching staff, we got to be a little bit better prepared to put them in some better situations. But, you know, hopefully that's just, you know, hopefully get some of those things cleaned up going forward next year and won't be in that kind of position.
Coach, do you feel that, I know, of course, you all had a successful season this year, but if it wasn't for that 1 yard, you guys would be playing this Celebration Bowl. So do you feel like that put a damper on this season, or were you guys still able to celebrate for what you all did this season, continuing that, closing out the season with a seven-game winning streak?
No doubt. I think it just made us stronger as a team this year, and I think, you know, it helped us grow as a program. You know, we can't control what happened that game. You know, it was what it was. Whatever happened on the 1 yard touchdown, or you know, we missed the field goal as well. So we still had a chance to win the game. We would execute it at the best of our ability. So, but no, we're still celebrating. You know, the championship season. You know, back to back. You know, the guys got a lot to be proud of closing the season out with 7 wins, and you know, beating the A&T, the rival, 2 years back to back. And you know, so it was a lot of great accomplishments that happened this year. You know, we still was able to close the season out with the most MEAC all-conference selection. So a lot of positive things happened that those guys should be extremely proud of.
Coach, are you ingrained into that A&T Aggie Eagle Classic rivalry as much as the fans, you know, on both sides hate each other? Are you ingrained in that rivalry yet?
I think so. I mean, you know, one thing about that game is no matter whether we were coming to the game with 0 wins or whether we came into the game with, you know, 10 wins, At the end of the day, that's a rivalry game, and a lot of those guys know one another. A lot of those guys grew up with one another. And, you know, it's not just another game. You know, that's what I told them going into the week. As much as you would like to prepare like it's another game, it was a rivalry game. And on top of that, it had championship implications. So, you know, you got to approach that week and that entire game a little bit different than you would any other game. You know, everything's at a you know, magnitude, you know, a multiplier level. So you got to approach it like that. And I've been proud of the guys the last 2 years. They've been able to go into that game and that situation and play a little bit above what they played the rest of the year. And that's what you want in a championship-level game.
Yeah, I was on the field for the Aggie Eagle Classic this year, and you could tell that this was a rivalry game, and those guys celebrated when that I forgot how the game actually ended, but when that game ended and those guys ran on the field, those guys celebrated. You knew that was a rivalry game.
Right.
Also, Coach, this is your coming into the Central, this was your first head coaching gig. What do you feel like so far? What have you learned as a head coach that you didn't know or you didn't fully understand coming into the before this gig?
Yeah, I think, you know, whenever you get a chance to coach young men, you know, that's 18, 19 years old, I think no matter whether you're assistant or whether you're the head coach, really things don't change very much. You're still trying to mentor the young men. You're trying to put them in the best situation to be successful. The thing that I saw was the biggest difference is managing your staff. You know, as an assistant coach, you don't really have a group of guys or grown men that's under you. As a head coach, it's slightly different. So you have to make sure your message or your vision for the program starts with the staff. I mean, we got a great staff that understands what we're trying to do and what we got to accomplish. And, you know, when you send that message, it all starts at the top, like this thing. When you send that message from the very top, and then it just kind of trickles down to the players.
We're joined by one more of our co-hosts, Aaron.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear
you.
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Hey, everybody. This is going to have to be quick. I'm at work.
You want to ask any questions?
Well, first, I want to congratulate Coach Mack on a great season, a great last two seasons. It's been a wonderful joy watching this team play. I guess my question would be, how do you keep it going, recruiting-wise, recruiting against North Carolina A&T? Both teams have been champs. Of course, Central has beaten A&T the last 2 years. How would you keep it going recruiting-wise? And with that offense that you have coming back, are you extremely excited for next year?
You know, first of all, I think the thing you got to try to build off of is the momentum. And right now we have a lot of momentum. The last 2 years, being back-to-back champions and then beating our rival in the state the last 2 years. So obviously that is a recruiting tool in itself. There are going to be some different things that, you know, we do. We do a great job, I think, of identifying certain athletes or certain players to come in our system and be successful. That doesn't mean they always have to be a 4 or 5-star caliber athlete. But, you know, as long as they fit our brand and what we believe in the North Carolina Central, I think that's always big. So we got to do a good job of just kind of building out the momentum and selling what we have to do. You know, what was the second part of your question?
Offensively. Seems like that's been, first of all, defense this year was amazing. Amazing to watch those guys swarm around the ball. I talked about it a couple weeks ago on the podcast that I enjoy watching C.J. Moore, and sad to see him go. But offensively, you bring a lot of firepower back. Tell me just how good can this offense be going forward next year?
We got a chance to be really good. I mean, I don't make any buts about that. I think with Malcolm Bell coming back and being a 2-year starter in the offense now, and Darrell McClain being rookie of the year, and you know, obviously Quentin Atkinson, who was hurt this past year, he'll be back for his senior year this upcoming year in 2016. And Lavonte Smith, you know, performing the way he did towards the latter part of the season, not only on offense but also on special teams. You know, we feel really good. You know, Armani Lanier was a guy that stepped up and provided some firepower for us. I think he had about 6 or 7 touchdown catches this year. So we're really excited about what we got coming back on offense, and we redshirted some young guys and some offensive linemen that we redshirted, and also a running back that we redshirted that we feel like can come in and be pretty special to this group. So you know, the goal is to continue to try to improve every year. You know, we've been we kind of had the injury bug this year, but you know, if all things are hitting on all cylinders this year, and they do a great job in our off season program, which is the spring and the summer, we got a chance to even be better on offense. I think this will be one of the better units that we return on offense since I've been here.
All righty. Thanks, Coach. I gotta run, John. It was a pleasure to be on. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks for joining us, Aaron. Coach, wanted to ask you. I think your story is interesting. We talked about this. You know, you're born in Memphis, raised in Memphis. You got a chance to coach and be assistant coach on beloved Memphis Tigers. And then y'all got fired after the first year, and I think the perseverance that you all, that you endured through that was very interesting. So tell us about what that experience was like for you and what you learned.
Well, I learned a lot. You know, we were able to go into Memphis, and unfortunately we got let go after the first year. And, you know, just kind of jobless for a couple of months. And I had several interviews during that time. And some of them worked out, some of them were good fits, some of them weren't quite good fits. But what it taught you was just to believe in yourself and you know, stay the course. And that's one thing, if you look at the team that we put on the field the last 2 years, we haven't always started off extremely great. You know, I think we were getting 1-3 at the opening of the season the last 2 years. And, you know, it's just one thing about that Memphis situation it taught me is as long as you believe in yourself and stay the course, you got a chance to be successful. And that's one thing I try to carry out throughout the team. You know, no matter what happens throughout the season, whether you start off as good as you thought you were going to start off or within the course of the game, there's going to be some adversity. You know, there's going to be some turnovers. There's going to be missed tackles and missed assignments. But one thing you got to do is stay the course. You got to always try to figure out a way to get back on course and stay focused. And, you know, you look at, you know, for instance, this season, we were down 22-0 against Savannah State. Had a really bad first quarter, but the guys stayed focused, they stayed the path, and came back and scored, you know, 39 unanswered points. And that's just kind of that's life, you know, and that's what I try to teach those guys is that in certain situations in life, it can be carried over strictly to football as well, and that's one of those situations. You know, we got to let go of Memphis. You know, I didn't flinch. You know, I just continued to work, continued to make my contacts and make calls, and fortunately, I was able to find a really great spot in the University of South Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, we're down towards the end. We wanted to get a little into the lighter side of things. First of all, do you have a favorite football team in the NFL?
Oh, man, I really don't. You know, I'm really big on players. I grew up a 49ers fan because I was a big fan of Joe Montana and the Jerry Rice and that whole, the great teams in the 90s of the 49ers. So, I think as I got older, I probably ventured more toward the Raiders. You know, I know they're up and down the last few years, but because of the tradition, because of what they kind of stand for, I've always liked the Al Davis and the Raiders, that type of lineage.
Yeah, well, Coach, man, we're going to have to get you to hop on the Panthers bandwagon. You know, we 11 out.
Don't do that.
I was just coming there. I think they're down right now. I don't know if they're going to win or lose today, but they were down the last time I saw.
We're
going to
be good. If we lose, we're going to be good. Coach, have you got a look at the A&T Alcorn matchup? Do you have you think you know who might win that game?
Well, you know, I'm kind of torn in that game. You know, Coach Hobson, the head coach at Alcorn, we were on staff together at University of Memphis together, and he's a good friend of mine. And, you know, obviously, North Carolina A&T representing the MEAC, the conference that we play in. That's a tough one, but I really like Alcorn chances. I really do, having playing both teams and you know, playing A&T and then watching Alcorn a little bit the last couple of years. You know, A&T had their work cut out for them, so it'll be interesting to see.
Here's my kind of theory. I mean, McClain ran all over A&T defense. He was basically unstoppable. Alcorn just ran 411 yards on scrambling. I think that if A&T can't stop that run, then Alcorn is going to have a field day. What do you think? Am I wrong, or is there more to it?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think you're totally on point. If they can't stop the run attack that Alcorn has, it's going to be a long day for AT. You know, and the MEAC and the SWAC and the type of linemen that we have, to me, I think it's the difference at any level of football, not just, you know, MEAC versus SWAC. I mean, that whoever has the better offensive defensive line is probably the team that's going to come out victorious at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Coach. Trey, is there anything else you wanted to ask before we wind down?
No,
Coach. I just wanted to
go ahead.
Oh, Coach, I was just saying, I just want to thank you for the time and continue to have much success. Of course, we're paying attention.
Appreciate that. Appreciate you guys for having me on tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot. We look forward to speaking with you in the future, hopefully.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, take care. That was North Carolina Central football coach Jerry Mack. We appreciate him stopping by. We're winding down on the podcast. Again, my name is Jonathan Alexander with the News and Observer here with my co-host.
I'm Trent Little.
You can find me on Twitter at JONMAlexander1. And you can email us with any suggestions, what you think of the show at JAlexander@newsobserver.com. Trent, what's your Twitter?
@_TEELittle, and you can find me there, of course. Most of the time I'm saying my opinion on some type of content from over the sports weekend. Right now it's how bad and how terrible Matt Ryan has looked this season, but I'll talk about some. But you can find me there for any sports-related content.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us. We thank Aaron Saunders as well. We are signing off of HDCU Voice. We hope that you join us next week. Take care.